trying to figure out exactly where to jump in on this. And I just was praying today about a bunch of stuff and things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, during this particular time of the year, just ending and realizing, hey, what are we up to? We, you know, we have Thanksgiving and what's happening here. And you have a lot of different turmoil of folks. You know, this year, you know, the holiday season is either you're really happy or you're really sad. But I want you to be really happy. Amen? But you know, as you hear the body of Christ, there's just so much division in the body of Christ right now. You know, and I don't know if it's with people as much as it is with leadership. Because that's who I get. Yeah, I know, ouch is a big deal. And it's like this one coming against this one and this one coming against this one. And what it really reminds me of, it reminds me of a bunch of Corinthians. Yeah, Paul writing to the Corinthians, a bunch of Corinthians, man. So actually, I want you to go ahead and turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got double Bibles up here. I got my King James up here. I got my New Living right here. We're gonna tie together and talk about how not to get caught up in some things. But actually, we're gonna also talk about growing up. Amen. I think the body, you know, there's times when we think the body of Christ is doing things, and then all of a sudden we watch them and they regress. You know, it's kind of like human life at times. People go through their midlife crisis, they change, they come back, and it's like, oh, let's do this, let's do that, and it kind of messes everything up, you know? So it's like, ah, and we want to go through our second childhood. And it's okay to. You know, it's okay to be fun, and it's okay to enjoy and think and do things. I mean, the Bible talks about different things, but what I want to share tonight, I just want to talk about growing up, but I also want to talk about, let's not compare ourselves, let's not fight against ourselves, and let's not get caught up on what everybody else is doing. Amen? So let's go ahead, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I praise you, and I thank you. You alone are so wonderful. You are just so awesome, and Lord, we just trust you tonight as we just look to the holy written word of God. Lord, I thank you for that, that it brings clarity, it brings truth, it brings things to us. And Father, I just ask that you anoint these lips of clay. Let me speak in such a way that you'll be the most seen and the most glorified. Father, my heart's desire is that you touch lives, that you bring a word in due season and just encourage them and strengthen them so that we can continue to finish our course. Hallelujah. And when we say finishing our course, Father God, thank you that we're not thinking, oh, this, we've only got a little bit, but Father, that we want to continue, hallelujah, to honor you. We want to continue to love you. We want to just, you know, do the things that you've called us to do. So Lord, thank you for these wonderful folks that are here. Thank you for the assignments in which you've given unto them. Thank you for your plans and purpose for their lives. Lord, we honor you for it, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, I really wish he would have kept going, because chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians is such an amazing, you know, he's talking about all kinds of things, the power, the presence of God. He's talking about us having the mind of Christ. He's talking about all kinds of wonderful things being revealed to us. And then all of a sudden he gets to chapter 3 and he just changes gears. I mean, he goes right out of, we have, you know, says, hey, we've got this. And I want to read verses 1 through 3 out of the New Living Translation, just because I thought it really actually shared, you know, a little bit, you know, just more plainly. He said this, Paul said this to him. He said, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I'm so glad we got a bunch of spiritual people here tonight, okay? But he said, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and you quarrel with one another, you know, with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? aren't you living like the people of the world when one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another one says, I'm of Apollos? Aren't you acting just like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos and who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. And it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters works together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Amen. Aren't you glad that's who we are? Now, I want you to jump over with me to the fourth chapter. And look at some things here. And I want to begin reading. Begin reading at verse 1 again. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. He said, so look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager, or I like the way the King James says, a steward must be found faithful. Amen. But it says, now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest scenes, our darkest secrets to light, and we reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Dear brothers and sisters, I have used Apollos and myself to illustrate what I've been saying. If you pay attention to what I have quoted from the scriptures, you won't be proud of one of your leaders at the expense of another. And what a phrase. You won't be proud of one of your leaders at the expense of another. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? Amen. Now, if you want to, you can go ahead and go over to Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll jump into this thing. But what I want to do is because what I'm seeing and what I have been hearing, and, you know, like I said, I'm connected to the leadership in the body of Christ and different things of looking and seeing. And wow, it is amazing how many leaders are putting down other leaders and how many things are saying, well, I like this guy and I hate this guy. Or I think this guy is better than this guy. And we get caught up in all of these things here. There is such a division, such dividing on what people think about this or think about that. And I tell you, what it does is it causes the world to look at us and go, wow, what's the difference between them and us? And there is none. When you're endeavoring to, you know, judge another man's servant, the Bible also declares, who are you that judges another man's servant? Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And here's the thing about it is that if the leadership is going goofy, what is everybody else going to do? Because here, and I'm going to read this to you out of the New Living Translation too. I have it in my King James, but I'm going to read it to you. And we're going to begin reading in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. If not anything else, you guys have had those scriptures read to you tonight. You're blessed, okay? Hallelujah. It's good stuff. Now, look what it says. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God, or knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work and it helps other parts grow. That's an incredible statement. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's where we're headed toward. Amen. But he said this. He said these gifts are given by Christ, gave them to the church. But if they're bickering and fighting and fussing and getting into this, endeavoring to do, and just like it says, if you say, "Well, I'm going to put this leader's great," net, want to make this leader look bad, what happens is that it causes so much division in the body of Christ. Yeah. Amen. Some says, "Well, what do? We have a, that's because we have great social media. We have so many different things that." Instantly, we know how bad people are. And then we have people get into arguments. They do things. But I like one of the things that he says here is that, in the King James Version says that, if we'll speak the truth in love, we'll grow up. And how do you know that the Word of God is the truth? And what happens is, it's funny because the Bible says, if you see your brother sin a sin that's not unto death, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore. Restore. Not criticize. Not go back, not complain about, not go talk about, not go, mess them all up. Not go broadcast all of their mistakes, but restore. And I remember many years ago, a person saying this, he said, the problem, reason that people aren't being restored is we don't have very many spiritual people. And I first thought to this, I said, well, I don't think it's the people's fault. Amen. I think it's the leadership's fault because we have so much insecurity in the body of Christ. Thank you for your overwhelming response. Everybody gets all nervous about things. And he said this, and I don't know about you, but at the end of the year, this end of the year, when I get into November, December, and I'm looking into January, those 3 months are I do a lot of inventory in my life. I don't know if you do that for your own self, but I do a lot of things in my life. I take time to locate me. How good, how far, how, what am I, what's going to, have I done what I feel God has wants me to do? Am I doing? Where are we headed? Where are we going? I do a lot of inventory of my own self. And here's the thing about it. I also tell you about, have I grown closer to God this year? Am I walking in the things that I'm doing? Every year I write down my vision because the Bible says, write the vision and make it plain. It's a sermon that I've preached since 1999, for the last 26 years. One of the Sundays, either the last Sunday of December or one of the first Sundays of January, for the last 26 years, I talk about write the vision. And I love doing that because I have written things out. I have, my natural goals and my spiritual goals, and I've written things and looked at things. And for those, and I've grown more spiritually, and I've grown in things, and I've seen God's hand more real in doing that than I did even before that. Amen. And the reason being is because when you write it down and you look at it, you say, hey, I want to accomplish this, then you actually set goals for yourself. Amen? And, one of the things about growing up with the things of God or growing up spiritually is you take inventory of yourself. And, I remember reading in a book called Growing Up Spiritually. It talks about the babyhood stage or childhood stage. It even talked about a little bit about a teenage stage, but really it talked about, babyhood, childhood, and also just manhood or maturity, growing up in the things of God. And when you look at those things, it actually correlates with our spiritual walk and actually even with our natural walk, because we just have a lot of babies in the body of Christ. We have a lot of babies that are on social media that want to let you know their opinions. Amen. One of the biggest things about that, we look at that, and they just, if you disagree with them, if you don't give them their candy, oh my goodness. We have little Perry, who's so precious and so sweet. It's Samantha's little girl. And when Samantha comes into work, and Perry knows exactly what to do. First thing she does, when she gets to the door, she runs to Leticia's office. Because our ushers are big babies, they have to have candy. So Leticia has candy for them. No, I love my ushers. I'm just teasing. But that's the first thing she does. And then Samantha says, no, you can't get that because we just got here. You haven't. And the first thing that Barry does is go, what? You know, she just puts on a whole show. Because why? Because she wants her candy. And if she comes to me, she gets her candy. It's life. Just give her a candy. That's no big deal. But, you know, hey, that's because I'm a grandpa. It's a good thing, you know. But even in the babyhood stage or even in the thing when we first start, what does the Bible say in 1 Peter? It says, as sincere, you know, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, which means we need to desire truth. You know, one of the things about, you know that you're growing in the things of God and when things that people say or do don't affect you like they used to. Amen. Now, come on, you guys are all mature. You're here on a Wednesday night, okay? So we're going to talk about this. We can talk about these days because you can talk about all the people that are not here. No, okay? And how many of you know God's desire for us when we meet him and we get born again, that's his first desire is that we be born again. God's first desire is that everybody know him, be born again, be saved, have a relationship with him. Second thing is he wants you to be filled with his spirit because he wants you to have the power to walk in the things that he desires of those things. And it's a hunger and a desire that's there. But the third thing that he wants you is he actually wants you to grow up. He doesn't want you to stay a baby. He wants you to grow in the things of God. He wants you to take hold of the word of God and begin to renew your mind. Amen. Because we need to learn how to walk in it, you know. One of the things that God's, you know, when we see little babies, the wonderful thing about them is they have such an innocence. They have no past. Isn't that awesome? And here's the thing, too. When you see people that are acting like babies, the very first thought should come into you is not that, oh, they're spoiled, they're rotten, but the first thought that should come in, you know what? They just don't know. And so there's an innocence that needs to be there. There needs to be a forgiveness there instead of a judgment. Amen? There needs to be an innocence there instead of a judgment. Because you say, yeah, but they should. Yeah, I agree, they should know better. But just because they're trying to walk and they fall down doesn't mean you knock them down. Amen? So we're talking about maturity. We're talking about, some say, well, what do you do when somebody's wrong or they're saying things? You pray. You pray. And you ask God and you pray. And you pray for them. Amen? And if somebody asks you concerning, you just have to say, well, here's what the Bible says. We're not going to come against them. You know, just like it said over there, you know, lifting up this one is and trying to put down that one's not going to benefit anybody. I like what my mentor always said. Listen, you know, blowing somebody else's candle out will never brighten yours. Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God. So we got to learn how to walk in this, you know. And, you know, it's something to grab a hold of the truth of the word of God and be able to say, okay, I want to walk in this. I want to walk in the truth of the word of God. And like I said, if those that are in leadership are not walking in this truth and not walking in maturity, it's going to be really hard for the body of Christ to do this. You know, amen. And, you know, same thing is that we need to know the truth so that we can help others who are maybe not as strong as we are that, you know, because what babies usually do is they put everything in their mouth. They eat anything and everything. Amen? Because they just figure that's what it's supposed to do and what it's supposed to do. So that's why people just, how many of you, if you've been born again for any length of time, how many fads have come through the church or coming through America or coming through all the different things that you're, how many pyramid schemes have come through that you're supposed to get involved in? Okay. How many things have come and go and things that have come and gone. And yeah, we may have missed out on a few things as far as the waves of some things because we may have been a little too cautious, but I know God wants us to be a little bit more behind him than he does wants us to be out ahead of him. Yeah. Amen. And people say, well, I just didn't know. You know, I don't think ignorance is an excuse anymore. Because we've got the truth. We've got, quote unquote, the internet. We've got all these different avenues that we can at least look and see and see the view, see the things. We actually have the word of God. And if we'll take time to do it, you know, then we won't allow what we don't know to destroy us. Amen? Because the Bible says we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. And Bible says he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the things. He said he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the of Satan's devices. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of the things. He wants us to know. He wants us to walk in this truth. You remember, in Hebrews? There in Hebrews chapter 5, the last part of that chapter, he said, you guys should be teachers. You should be teaching the children. But I got to talk to you as unto babes. I got to give you the milk again so that you can do this. He said, because you're not skillful in the word of righteousness. You're easily offended. Amen. I can't help but that God knew you were coming and he said to do this. So this is not a Thanksgiving message. It's not. I know it isn't. It's like, Lord, what are you trying to do to me? You know? And amen? So we got to watch what we put in our mouths, but we got to watch what we hear. We got to watch what we're seeing. And we got to see if other people see it. See, okay, well, yeah, but that's not true. And especially now. Wow. You know, thank God for all of the things that we have. I mean, the knowledge and all the stuff. But how many of you know you have to be very careful with all of the knowledge? Because knowledge will puff you up. I mean, we've got, you know, AI. We've got all the different things that take place. And you don't know if it's real or not. Amen? But thank God for the Spirit of God. Thank God for the Word of God. That enables us to know what's real and what's not. Amen? Because someone says, well, how do you know if somebody, you know, is there, you know, how can you locate yourself and how do you know about other people? Well, like I said, first of all, with babies is that there's an ignorance. There's a thing that, well, they just may not know. So you can't flaunt what you know to try to beat them up. You just got to say, well, I'm going to tell you not to do this and try to help you. But also, usually the case is that one of the biggest key things for people that aren't growing in the things of God is that they get mad at everything. They're pretty irritable. Y'all okay? And you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. You might have family coming over. And if you got family coming over, you're going to have to not be irritable. It's not good. You know? Well, what do we mean by that? Well, it means that if you don't agree with them, then you're a heretic. Then you're wrong. Amen. And see, when you walk with the things of God, is that the Bible, there's a scripture in the Bible says, let them that are ignorant be ignorant still. See, it's like somebody said sometime, you might, you know, if you look at Proverbs, when it talks about trying to get in a confrontation with a fool, he says, you can do all, he said, but it's not going to benefit you. And one of my friends, he says it this way because he's a Louisiana boy. He said, listen, you might be able to whoop a skunk, but you might not want to. Which means you're going to get a residue about that, okay? And why am I sharing this? It's because we have a tendency to want to make people listen to us. Or we have a tendency to want to tell people what's right. Or we want a tendency to correct. And it's not in the sense it's, listen, if somebody asks you, they've given you permission to speak into their lives. If they haven't asked you, you don't need to give your opinion. Amen. Amen? Because I've had people, I've got a lot of friends, are like, and I'm like, you know, like, well, how come you don't get in on this? I said, well, I want to say because I'm not a fool, number one. But I don't say that. You know, hey, praise the Lord. If you're watching, I love you anyways. But it's... because it's not going to benefit. You know, there are those that are going to fight. It's just like, well, no. I mean, if you'll do what the Word of God says, listen to what the Bible says. Here's what the Scriptures say. And people want to come at you and like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, and I think it's a great day when actually we can sit down and discuss and talk and even be agreeable to disagree. Amen. Or we can be able to say, hey, let's walk together, but let's get connected to the things that we can get connected to. Amen? If we could do that, it'd be such an incredible thing when we stop seeing the frustration and the distraction and getting people off on these things over here and divided on which side, whatever's going on. Instead of just, let's just minister the gospel. Let's just preach the word. Amen? Because what that does is it brings us into the next stage of things, which is what happens is we've got a lot of unsteady people. Amen. Do you know why you believe what you believe? It's always good to know why. What you believe because of the Word of God. Getting a hold of the Word of God and saying, yeah, I believe this because this is what the Word of God says. I don't want to be unsteady. I want to be steady in the things of God. But I'm learning. I'm growing. And if there's things, hey, I'm not sure about, okay, let's do this, you know. And because I want to be reliable. I don't want to be unreliable. And I think in the body of Christ, we need to do that. And I think the lines have been drawn in a lot of ways. But what happens is it's taken away from helping. It's taken away from serving. And we've got into debating and arguing. Now, thank God for apologetics. I'm not listening to what I'm saying. I know we got a whole generation that loves to do that. And I think that's awesome. I think it's great. If you can ration, you can share and do. I think that's fantastic. But I also know this, is that I don't want to convince your mind. I want to change your heart. Yeah, I want to get that. And if I have to go through your mind to get to you, that's fine too. But I want to change your heart. I want the power and the presence of God, but I want to change your heart. I want the scriptures to say, hey, listen, here's what the Word of God says. I want that to change your heart because I don't want to change your mind. I don't want to convince you. Amen? That's not my heart. I don't want to convince you. Amen? But what I want to do is I want to give the gospel because I want it to change you how to do it, so that you'll be changed, not convinced to do something or made to do something, but you have a heart hunger and a desire to want to do something. Amen? And I think that's what we need to see that. We need to do that because we see the unsteadiness of things that have taken place. And then we see a lot of people who are curious right now. They're curious of how this is all going to play out. Amen? There's been such a revival. There's been such an open door. And people are curious, okay, how's this going to all work out? How's the body of Christ going to do it? And I believe, I mean, I'm praying. I really am. I mean, I start out saying, hey, these guys, because that's what I'm seeing. But I start out by saying, hey, I'm praying that all of a sudden there's a shift. There's a shift in, you know what? Praise God, here, this is this. But you know what? Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for what we need to do. Let's do the gospel, you know, instead of just trying to defend it. Amen? There really is. I mean, you know, and right now, we have so many voices. You know, and that's why you know kind of where they're at, what stage they're in too in a lot of ways, is because most kids love to talk. And they don't want to shut up. So you have a lot of things here. We got a lot of people that just want to keep talking and talking and talking. And then we've got the aspect of, hey, here, if they continue to talk long enough, it's like, oh, they're trying to wear us down. You know? Amen? But the Bible has a lot to talk about and a lot to say about your speech and what you say. And the Bible says to guard what we say. Got to make sure that we're not doing evil speaking. We're not doing vain speaking. We're not doing foolish speaking. That we're not just trying to get our words out there. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I mean, hey, listen, I think the internet, I think all the things, all of the avenues, praise, I think they could. There's a big blessing in all of that of connectivity. But I think we can make it so much crazier. But here's what we're supposed to be. Let me give you the things for us. The mature, as we're supposed to mature ourselves, this is what we're supposed to do because there's got to be some grown-ups in the room. Amen? I'm trying to find some grown-ups that are deciding to do the things that we just quietly need to go ahead and do what God's called us to do. Because the number one things about people that are mature and the number one about characteristics that we have is that we esteem all the earthly things lightly. And we have more of a spiritual vision than we do a natural vision. That we have a heart for people to be born again, a heart for people to be helped, a heart for people to see God in their lives, amen, more than to defend him. Amen? I mean, we want to be like Moses who says, hey, I'm going to esteem all that. You know, his mama taught him, said, listen, you're an Israelite, you're this. She helped raise him, she taught him. And all that. So when he got older, it's like, no, I'm for the people. I'm going to forget about all the riches of Egypt because he had all that. And he never wanted to go back. All the children of Israel were slaves and they always wanted to go back because they didn't have a relationship with God like Moses did. And that's what we're endeavoring to get here. Why is it so important to esteem earthly things lightly? It's because if we get caught up in all the things that are going on around us, then we're going to think we've got to start trying to store up, save up, do things. We're trying to fix everything naturally. And that'll mess you all up. Y'all okay? We're going into 2026, and I believe it's a very, very, very pivotal year for the body of Christ. It's a very pivotal year for what we do and how we do it. And if we're not reaching out and we're not taking care of the body of Christ and we're not doing what God's called us to do, then there can be calamities. Because the world is going to, you know, it's going to get more interesting. Amen? Because you can never put earthly things above spiritual things and expect to prosper or expect to grow spiritually. Amen? It just doesn't work, you know. And just plainly put, you can't be more interested in making the dollar than you are in honoring God. And not that God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be, the biggest key is that we could all be prospering so much more if we'd actually be good stewards of God's finances. You know, that's a whole nother animal and it's a wonderful thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. But, and I've had so many different people ask me, said, well, how do you do that? How do you not get sucked in? Well, first of all, you got to realize if you're dead, it doesn't matter what people say about you. And if you're dead, it doesn't matter what people say good about you. You got to have a deadness to censure and praise in the sense of this. Paul said, I know how to abound. I know how to debase. Paul also said, listen, when he was there in 1 Corinthians, when I talked to him, he says, why are you making me and Apollos something? I planted Apollos water. It's God that gives the increase. And you saying, I'm of Paul, so I'm putting down Apollos, doesn't do any good. Amen. And why is that so important? Because thank God for what, and of course, Paul said this. He said, what have you got that God hasn't given you? Who are you without God? You're just as lousy and ugly as the meanest and ugliest person in the earth. Without Jesus, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're heathen. Amen? Amen? Without Jesus, we can't do anything. So thank God for the Lord. Thank God for him. Thank God that we get, and thank God that the Holy Spirit came and drew us because the Bible says we couldn't get to God without him drawn. Aren't you glad that God drew you? Yes. And aren't you glad that you had the parent, even if, no matter, but you, God sought you out, God, and that you made a decision to accept him. But he got you. He drew. The Bible says you couldn't come to him unless he wanted you. Man, I'm so glad he wanted me. I'm like, wow. Amen. You know, people ask me, so what? Do you come from a long line of preachers? No, I'm the first preacher in my family. In that sense. First one, you know, called and doing and pastoring and doing. I'm the first one. You know, now, you know, my first wife, long line of preachers, you know. Miss Pamela here, glory to God, her dad, her grandfather, I mean, they got them all. So I married, good. Got into the, you know. But, you know, and now my parents went to church. They loved God. But as far as the call of God, as far as doing things, I had to do it all. Start it and start a legacy and start that, you know. And I'm so glad that I did, but I'm so glad God got me. Amen. You know, I used to feel bad when I was, you know, teenagers and everything because I'd say, God, why can't I sin like everybody else? Why do I feel so bad? Why can't I lie like everybody else? I just can't lie. Don't tell me a secret because you're in trouble. My older brother and sister, like, they were like, you're terrible. I said, I am. Because if they ask me, I'm going to tell them. I just never could. Because I got saved as a young, I just couldn't. And I thought, God, you're picking on me. Everybody else is having fun and I can't. But man, what a joy that I didn't get all messed up. What a joy that I never had to, you know, do stupid things. And you may have done stupid things, but that doesn't, it just means that, hey, I'm so glad that he decided, hey, you know what? I want this for you. And I'm like, okay. But see, on the other side of the coin, you can say, oh, well, look at this. We're going to praise you for your life, or we're going to pray. Look at this. Look what all's going on. And you can get caught up in pride. Remember when I shared on Sunday, is that all of a sudden we get to thinking, well, God, I'm doing what the Bible says. I'm doing all the steps of faith. I've done everything. Here's the word. You have to do this. Anytime you tell God he has to do something, you're in trouble because you just changed roles. I know none of you have ever done that, but I've gotten mouthy with God every once in a while. Hallelujah. But see, this is the thing for maturity, is that you realize, you know what? People are going to take things that you say and do and misconstrue them. People are going to take your motives and make it wrong. People are going to say, oh, you feel like God's, not everybody's going to agree with you. But you've got to do it in your heart. Because just like Paul said, he said, hey, I'm not doing this. He said, and God's honoring, he said, but I don't even know if I'm right. He said, just because I have a clear conscience doesn't mean I'm right. God's the one who's going to be the judge. But I'm going to walk in what I know to do, and I'm going to walk in this, and I'm going to allow God to be God. Amen? But this is the biggest key. Now, if you don't get anything else, get this one point right here, because this is what I really wanted to get to when I'm talking about this, is that we need to see what God is doing in the earth today. The greatest thing that you need to see is the ability to see God working in your life, but also see where God is working and what he's doing and able to do that. What do I mean by that? Is that no matter what's going on in your life, that you're yielding yourself, saying, God, I am endeavoring to follow you the best I know how, and I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to worry about this left or right. The best example I have of that is Joseph. My gosh, he gets a vision. He has a dream, and he's dumb enough to tell everybody, which is what we do. We tell, man, look, God just showed this to me. God did it. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, who do you think you are? What do you think you are? You think, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, his brothers throw him in. They sell him. They were going to kill him, but they sell him. He's like, whoa. He gets there. He gets bought by Potiphar. He's trying, and he sees the hand of God upon him. He rises up. And then all of a sudden, he gets totally lied about by Potiphar's wife, gets thrown in prison. And these are years. This isn't days. These are years that are going. He said, well, how did he couldn't see. He kept rising to the top because he kept honoring God, and he kept doing, saying, Lord, here it is. Even when he told, when the butler got restored and the baker was killed, the butler was, oh my gosh, I should have, because he said, hey, when you get before, Caesar, when you get before him, let him know, or Pharaoh, he said, let him know that, hey, I'm in here wrong. Remember me. He didn't remember him for 2 or 3 years. Amen? But yet, we know the story. We see it all, and we go, oh, isn't that wonderful? But how many of you guys want to be in prison for 13 years and be in the will of God? Now, understand that Joseph was in the will of God. Now, all of us want to say, well, God could have done it different. Probably could have done Paul's life different, too. Paul didn't have to be in house arrest and write all the epistles of the Bible. He didn't have to have all that stuff. He didn't have to, he could have been a whole lot of better way of getting before Caesar than being a prisoner. But it was a perfect thing for God. Amen? Hallelujah. See, because when you can recognize God in your life and recognize that God has some things doing, then you can rejoice no matter what. Because that's what we wanted to get to be thankful, be grateful, and literally be able to rejoice and have joy. Because of the fruit of the Spirit that you've got on the inside of you. That even though it looks terrible, it looks, all of these things doesn't look right, if things are not working right, you're like, what the heck is going on here? How come we're not seeing these things here? But if you'll fellowship with God and keep your heart right, and not get an argumentative thing, and not get into a fighting thing, not get into trying to, hey, do this, and you'll talk to your Heavenly Father. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus said that he was our Father? He introduced to us a loving Heavenly Father that nobody ever understood. You know that. Jesus gave us a word called agape, which is a Greek word. He made that word. He said, it's the God kind of love. It's a love that's unconditional. It's a love that loves you whether you love them back or not. Amen. And then he said, guess what? That same love that God loves you, I'm going to place inside of you by my Spirit. You've got that love. Paul said that. Paul said, hey, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's agape. It's love. It's an unconditional. It's a love that says, hey, I can see this thing taking place. It's a love because I've got a heavenly Father. I don't have just a God, but I got a heavenly Father, you know. And when we walk with the Father God and we start walking in love, then what happens is that, wow. That's when you know you grow up and you go, you know what? This would have really wiped me out. I don't know if you've ever had this. You know, I've come to the place where this would have really wiped me out 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. But now you realize, praise God, I've grown. This is not, thank God I've sought first the kingdom of God. Thank God, hallelujah, God's here. Amen. Because it's so beautiful when you can see God working. And like I said, even before, there's times where you don't see God working. That's when you believe to see the goodness of God. Just say, Lord, I may not see it, but I know this. That's why I want you to turn. We're going to close on this. Romans chapter 8. And you guys know this verse, but I love this verse. And people, you know, have a tendency to take it and kind of out of context and use it to as a, well, it's just going to all, and it's like, yeah, it all will work out. All things work together for the good to those that love God and who are called according to his purpose. The biggest key, it only works out for those who love God. Because we see a lot of Christians, things don't work out. You say, what's going on? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, you know, in verse 28, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And if you don't have love God underlined in your Bible, you should have it underlined. You know, I mean, I do. In every Bible I have, that particular love God is underlined. You know, and I have a lot of them. But here it is. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And God's called us all. But when you know that you love God, then you trust God that he's the one that's got you. And then your ability to recognize God at work and say, God, I may not see it right now, but thank God that I believe you're working and you're molding me and you're ordering my steps. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to let this thing or that thing influence me. I'm going to let you influence me. Amen? Not that I may not hear the things, but I'm not going to allow to get puffed up in pride, or I'm not going to allow the lies of the enemy to cause me to be discouraged. Amen? Because you're going to get talked about. You're going to get praised. And, and you got to go, thank you, Jesus, on both sides. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Most of the time, you're going to get more censor than you do praise. But sometimes it's like, hey, you're doing, it's like, you know what? We're just allowing God to be God. And like Paul said, he got to the place where it didn't matter. Doesn't matter what you're saying. What you're saying, you judging me, you evaluating me, you doing, hey, praise God. There's a greater one that's going to judge me, and that's God. And that's who I've got to stand on. And I believe God's got to do that. And I believe as the body of Christ, this whole thing is we've got to watch what we're hearing, watch what we're seeing, but also what we have to do is say, you know what? I want to walk with the things of God, and I want to see God at work, and I want to make sure that I'm not allowing the enemy to cause me to be irritable, to cause me to be, you know, caught up in all of the junk that's happening here. Hey, you know, if I feel like God wants me to say something, then I'm going to give my 2 cents. But if he doesn't, I think I'll be better off not saying anything. And I used to say this to my kids all the time. I said, listen, it's called the thumper theology. How many of you ever watched Bambi? Thumper. What did his mama say? His mama said, if you can't say anything good, then don't say nothing at all. Amen? And I always tell folks this, you know, because the phrase that God gave me many, many, many years ago out of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, listen, if it doesn't bring life to you and praise unto God, it is not fit for your thought life. And there, so there's times I blurt out and go, is that bringing life to me? And people look at you, what bringing, what? There's a thought that just came into my head, and it says, is that bringing life to me? Does that bring praise unto God? All right, then it's not my thought. Has no right to stay. I can't stop the thoughts from coming, but I can stop entertaining them, meditating on them, and allowing them to take hold of my life. Amen? And I'm praying. I am praying for the body of Christ in America right now, especially in the streams and areas that I'm in, because we've got such, and I'm like, Lord, help us here. Help us get off of this stuff. Help us get back onto what God is doing. Help us get back on and praying for what we need to pray instead of making judgments. Amen? Because, you know, we still got a lot of things, bad things going on in the world today. You understand that? There's everybody needs help. But thank God that if we'll not get caught up in that and we'll just stay focused and do our part, what God's speaking to us to do, hallelujah, glory to God. You know what? Lives will be changed and our lives will be changed. Amen. And we're not trying to be in a cocoon because we got to know what's going on. But what I am saying is that we need to know what's going to be effective and be a blessing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you. Lord, I just trust. I know I've shared my heart tonight. I shared about us growing up and being mature in the things of God because I see the bickering. I see all the things. And Lord, maybe I shouldn't be seeing those things and maybe I shouldn't be. But Lord, we don't need to try to pick sides on all of these issues that really don't, really, they're not issues of salvation. They're not issues of eternal bearing. They're just issues of preference. And they're issues of opinions. And it's like, how does this benefit the body of Christ in the gospel going forth, in truth reaching the world here? So Lord, my heart's cry, my heart's desire is that you keep us steady and you keep us moving in the right direction. You keep us going down the road that you have for us. Lord, thank you for Harvest Bible Church. Thank you for these wonderful folks. Thank you for all those that are watching. Lord, we just honor you. We love you for it. And I just thank you, Father God, for your amazing grace. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.